All right, we're live from Yankee Stadium. Yankees Dodgers game four of the World Series will be here until 7:25 tonight. So, Gerrit Cole met the media about an hour ago. Let us listen to him finally being asked questions about going on short rest. The first question was, hey, have they considered you pitching on short rest? Here's the question and the answer from Gerrit Cole.
With you guys down 3-0, how much, if any, conversation was there about you coming and pitching tonight on short rest?
I didn't have any conversations.
That was it.
First of all, he's so awkward, it makes me laugh. I appreciate his awkwardness. I'm an awkward guy myself, but we didn't have any conversations. That bothers me. There's no conversations. Okay, Gerrit. Aaron Boone made these comments the other day about everything you've been through this year, that's a part of why they won't consider you on short rest. Here's the question and the answer from Gerrit Cole regarding that.
Boone had said that with everything that you went through this spring, that he didn't view you as an option to come back in short rest. I guess, has that experience made, you know, since you've come back, you guys be any more careful? And just physically, how do you feel right now?
Yeah, I feel great right now. And, you know, I'm available whenever the team wants me to pitch. So, there's nothing preventing me from pitching if the team wants me to pitch.
Oh God. Mm. I mean that is okay. Mm-hmm. Tiki, put him in the Tiki chair. Is he BSing us or
no,
is Boone
just?
No, I don't
think so. Look, there was a long pause there, and I think he was thinking about how to say this correctly, you know, so that the Yankee fan doesn't turn against him and he doesn't say, "Well, I'm not going to pitch." If called upon, I will not serve.
Yeah.
That's more infuriating. That's more of an indictment on Boone.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, he said, I've never been asked about it. And I kind of got to believe him.
That is incompetent.
I don't think he would lie about that. So I got to believe that they didn't ask him about it. And then for him to now say, yeah, if they want me to pitch, I'll pitch. Come on.
He doesn't want to pitch. He's a creature of habit who does not want to pitch on short rest. Is that what you get out of this?
Yeah, but I think if they ask him about it, he'd do it.
To me, if this was never, ever going to be on the table, if the Yankees were never, ever going to ask Gerrit Cole to pitch on short rest and he was only going to pitch twice in the series, then why the hell was he starting game one? He should have just started game 3 and 7.
Well,
no. Think about it.
Yeah.
No, because can I tell you why?
Because he's the ace. You got to start your ace. You got to try to win game one.
It's not only that, which I agree with, trying to win game one. It's also not guaranteeing because the Yankees could lose tonight, giving yourself a better chance that he would pitch a second time, but also at least leaving the door open to coming out of the bullpen.
Okay.
Yeah, but
in a game
seven. I think what Sean is saying is that if he wasn't ever going to pitch in three games, then urgency for game one wasn't really there. The problem is that they had so much time, so it didn't matter.
Game three was always going to be more important than game one, no matter what.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that, kind of like I said earlier, you got to extend the series, got to extend the game. I want to win game one. I'm at Dodger Stadium. I got the best pitcher, the most reliable pitcher in baseball. I got to throw him. So I disagree with that, but it just shows a weird disconnect that, A, he wasn't even approached about it, wasn't even considered. And then B gives us the, I'd pitch.
Well, I mean, just to defend Sean a little bit. I don't know if there's been enough studies, empirical evidence, about playing game one of a World Series on the road and your likelihood of winning. Like,
right.
I don't know if they've done these statistics and, you know, what it turns out to be. But if you dove into that and it said, yeah, you're likely to, your 80% chance of losing on the road in game one is as the road team, then what Sean is saying is right. Like if you're almost behind the eight ball on the road, winning at home has got to be most important.
I've always felt this way. I don't think enough is talked about in combating ace versus ace. Not that you're giving up at all, but I want to raise the probability I am going to win the start.
They don't have an ace, the Dodgers.
Well, Flaherty's
an ace
but he's,
now?
But he's, he's, He's pitching as one.
No, yes. He's not.
No. Meaning
he didn't pitch like one in Game Five in the NLCS.
Evan, he's being assigned at the assignment as if he's the ace.
Yes,
that's all. That's what
and
I'm
Garrett
saying.
Garrett Cole's better than him, and by the way, the Yankees should have won Game One. However, and yes, they still have to score last night. They didn't score to the ninth inning. If Garrett Cole is always not going to be available to start three starts in a seven-game series. Is there a higher probability the series is 2-1 if Garrett Cole's out there instead of Clark Schmidt last night?
Respectfully, I disagree with you, but I will tell you this to all the Boone haters out there. This Garrett Cole thing, this discourse about it, actually bothers me more than any individual decision he's made over the course of this series. Let me get to a couple of your calls, and then Sean's got a Cinco. Ozzie in Woodridge, what's up, Ozzie?
Slight intimation, if not big intimation by you guys, that Four Fingers Cole has reappeared by not marching into the manager's office and
you know what? That's a great point. I'm giving him the nickname again. He's Four Fingers again because he is kind of punting on the opportunity to pitch a game four. Good point by you.
Thank you very much. And now Sean is upset with tonight's lineup. Sean is upset, and I'm going to try and make my buddy Sean feel better. Sean is upset that this Cole situation worked out the way it did, and he might not get as many starts as he should. And we're all upset, and we were all shaking our heads at Nestor in Game One. So, Sean, are you ready?
What am I ready for, Oz? A punchline?
It's Howdy Booney time. It's Howdy Booney time. This guy is making mistakes a little league manager wouldn't even make.
By the way, I think Yankee fans agree with you at this point.
I don't even get it.
Let's go to Kevin in Paramus. What's up, Kevin? Kevin.
Hi, guys, can you hear me?
What's up, dude?
Go ahead.
Just my theory, Bush. Maybe, you know, it's not so much Boone, but it's Yankees upper management that doesn't want Cole to go on short rest because what if he went out there tonight, blows out his arm? He's not opting out of his contract, and then he's back with the Yankees, you know, for the next two, 3 years.
Kevin, here's the flow of your argument. He's going to be a Yankee for the next 5 years. The opt-out that he has is Fugazi. If he opts out, the Yankees can override it by adding another year on his contract.
Right. The only reason it's in there is so he can get paid a little bit more.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Another
year. So if he doesn't opt out because he blew his elbow out, he would still be a New York Yankee for the future, just like if he opted it out by not blowing his elbow out. And here's the other point I'd make. Garrett Cole has been a great free agent contract. 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. 5 years he's been here. He's been a wonderful signing. Now you got to win.
Right.
Now you got to win a championship.
Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Like, right.
If you're not going to, especially as a free agent, you're going to bring in a free agent arm, or really just a player, a free agent star, you have to win a World Series. You have to. It's what the Dodgers did when they brought in Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. Like, winning a World Series is everything monetarily when you're spending that much money on guys that aren't your own.
That's why I'm at the point now when I'm 5 years into a free agent contract, I'm not thinking about the rest of his contract.
No.
I'm thinking about I'm in the World Series for the first time over the life of his deal. I got to win it.
Yeah, how many more opportunities are we going to get?
And truthfully, the answer's probably not many.
Well,
it's tough to get to a World Series.
It's not many, but you also, like, think about what happened at the beginning of this year. It made Yankee fans' hearts skip a beat when first start, guess what? Garrett Cole's not available.
Right.
And we don't know exactly when he's going to be back.
Right.
We don't have a timeline. And you're devastated.
Yep.
Because he's your hope for all the dreams that you have is having an ace starting pitcher. And other than Garrett Cole, there really wasn't one because we didn't trust Carlos Rodon at that time. And now after game two, you really don't even now. But still, you had one ace. It was Garrett Cole. And so who knows if next year the same thing doesn't happen. Or the year after, or the year following.
You don't know.
You simply don't know.
That's why you got.
Now you're here.
That's why you got to go for it when you're here. Cinco de Fivo time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. I'm about to deliver a Cinco that myself makes me want to throw up.
But before you continue, I have a quote from Aaron Boone that really makes me proud.
Go ahead.
I've got my finger on the pulse. Aaron Boone toyed with a major lineup change. And I'm going to reveal what it was. Aaron Judge leading off. Aaron Boone has said, I toyed with hitting Aaron Judge leadoff tonight, but I decided I didn't want to disrupt Gleyber Torres, who's been very good at the top of the lineup. So the big lineup change that Aaron was thinking about was the one I suggested yesterday. Didn't do it. Thought about it. Yeah. And ultimately, Gleyber Torres is the reason he decided not to make it. I just saw that. I want to put that out there.
Does that make you feel better?
Makes me feel smart, Tiki.
By the way, makes me feel stupid because my reasoning for not doing it was I didn't want to disrupt Gleyber Torres. And if Boone thinks that, then I just
going on. Go ahead.
All right, here it is. The five things from Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS the Yankees can lean on tonight.
Oh, my God. Gosh. You're going down that road?
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The losing team of Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS was, of course, the Yankees. Their star homered in that game, Alex Rodriguez, to give the Yankees a 2-0 lead. So tonight, who cares if Freddie Freeman goes deep again to start?
Wow. You know what? It's funny. I'm trying to remember much about that game. What I remember is them losing 19-8 the day earlier. But, yeah, they were down 2-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Number 4.
Where they were down 3-2, actually. They were up 2-0. Then they went down 3-2, and then they went up 4-3, and then eventually blew the game. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, number 4. The Red Sox catcher in that game, he went 0-5. So who cares if Austin Wells doesn't get a hit tonight? All right.
Yeah.
Here
who
we
was
go.
That?
Number 3.
Who was the catcher? I just had
for
it.
Who?
The Red Sox. Sox.
Jason Varitek.
Jerry Varitek. That's right. Here we go. All right. The Yankees don't need much from Luis Gil tonight. In Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS, Red Sox starter Derek Lowe, he gave up 6 hits, only went 5 1/3 in it.
Yeah,
he
don't
need a lengthy start.
I don't think you guys could take a Game 4 Red Sox-Yankees. I mean, that would be so heart-pumping and stopping.
Right.
Obviously, the result you'll take.
By the way, it's the only time in baseball history somebody came back. We got to channel it.
Right.
Here we go.
1-40.
Yep.
Number 2.
Number 2. The Red Sox center fielder went 0-5 in Game 4. So if Aaron Judge goes 0-5 tonight, big deal. Johnny Damon did it that night for Boston.
All right.
All right, and here we go.
Johnny Damon number is a little one. Bit less than Aaron Judge.
And the number one thing the Yankees could take from Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS and lean on, Dave Roberts was the pinch-running hero for Boston, and he's sitting there in that other dugout tonight for payback. That's why you come back from 0-3 down to give Dave Roberts his revenge all these years in the
mix.
That's
a good number one.
So I watched the post-game pressers.
That, Netflix.
I watched the post-game pressers last night, and as soon as they brought up 3-0 to Dave Roberts, he's like, no, I don't want to talk about this. No. Here's the real question for Yankee fans. So I'll never forget, none of us will ever forget what happened in 2004. For all the bad reasons for Yankee fans, all the good reasons if you're a Yankee hater. When in the course of that comeback did you actually believe this could happen? And I relate that to this series. If the Yankees win Game 4, it doesn't even matter how. I don't think it needs to be nearly as dramatic as what Boston did in Game 4.
Probably 5. I would guess 5.
So just forcing it back to L.A. would be enough?
Yeah, after you win Game 5, or Red Sox won Game 5, it was like, all right, this could actually happen.
But do you think that would be the same here?
I think it would be the same here.
Nah, for me, it would be... Because if they win tonight, I would expect the Yankees to win with Gerrit Cole tomorrow. So it wouldn't be that I necessarily believe they're going to win two more. You know when I'd start to believe?
Go ahead.
Game 6, Friday night, L.A., Carlos Rodon leaves the mound with a lead.
So a lead in Game 6.
Where Rodon has pitched well enough that you're going to the pen, you have the lead, and then I start to think, well, we dodged the Rodon implosion.
Right.
And
so now,
a lead
now it's just winning a game.
Yep. That's where we go.
Yeah. I think winning today would actually get people on the train. And can I tell you why?
Okay.
If you look at the history of baseball in terms of teams going down 3-0, more times than not, they're dead. In fact, let me give you these numbers in the World Series. Just the World Series. I'm not including the ALCS comeback. 40 times a team has gone up 3-0. 40. Okay? This is the 41st team to take a 3-0 lead. 31 of the 40 ended in sweeps. That is overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. It's like 31? They just laid down. It's like they laid down.
Yes, 5 more of them, that gets to 36, ended in 5. Where, okay, gentlemen sweep. You lose game 4, and then you get it done in game 5. So 36 of the 40 were finished before you even got to a game 6. So because of baseball history being so littered with how difficult it is to even get off the mat a little bit,
yeah,
I think if the Yankees won tonight behind Luis Gil, and with Gerrit Cole going tomorrow, I think tomorrow on this radio station and tomorrow around this city, there would be a renewed optimism and hope of, okay, so, why not us?
So tell me, what of those four remaining, did any of them get to a Game 7?
In the World Series, I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Like, literally. I think it just got to a Game 6. Like, in the LCS, we've seen only twice where a team got to a Game 7. Obviously, Yankees, yes. Red Sox. And then, I don't even know if you want to count this, but 2020's ALCS at a neutral site.
Right.
The Astros were down 3-0 to Tampa and came back and forced the seventh game. The Mets in 99 were down 3-0 to Atlanta, and they forced the sixth game. Actually had a lead in said sixth game. But those are so rare.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a common occurrence. I know in the NBA we saw it recently, or at least the Miami Heat were able to force that seventh game, or the Celtics were able to force that seventh game a couple years ago. So we've seen that. But in general in baseball, when you go down 3-0, it's curtains.
Yeah.
And that's why I really do think if the Yankees won tonight, there would be a renewed optimism and hope of, yeah, they could do this.
20 years later.
20 years later.
With Jeter, A-Rod, and Poppy sitting there.
Whoa, with Dave Roberts sitting in the other dugout.
The guy who tore his ACL that led to A-Rod sitting in the other dugout. I mean, there's a lot of...
Are you starting to talk yourself into this?
There's something in the air tonight.
He just feels like being optimistic. No. He doesn't want to sit out here and they somewhat chill because it's starting to get breezy.
Look at
here.
The wind. These flags at Yankee Stadium, just to describe the car, they're starting to whip. The clouds over the sky have a Ghostbusters-like feel. There's an aura in the air that something's...
The wind's blowing the left field, it looks like.
Oh, kind of swirling. Something's a little off.
That American flag, the one you should be looking at, not the one in
blowing
the
left
center. The ones on the right side are blowing to the left.
What does this have to do with the ghosts?
There's just something in the air tonight. There's spirits in the air tonight. Now the wind has shifted. Somebody's dropping a pop-up tonight.
So do you really believe...
I kind of do.
So
I, and damned me that I do. Here I am again.
The one thing I'll say about this is...
Does it make me a bad fan?
No, it doesn't make you a bad fan. I think it makes you an optimist. Like, at the end of the day, you're hoping for good. And I've always said this about these series. Well, there's nothing about the Yankees that make me think they're going to win four straight and write their name in baseball history. I believe coming back from 3-0... It's so much easier than we make it out to be.
What do you mean?
Like, just one game at a time.
It's just winning four in a row, T.
Yeah, it's a four-game win streak.
Like, do you know how many different times the Yankees won four in a row this year?
Of course.
Eight different times.
Yes, but they weren't playing the Dodgers every time.
Okay.
That's the difference.
I get it. It's not in that context, it seems tough, but like when the Mets were down 3-1, I even said the same thing. Like, what are we really talking about here? It's just a three-game winning streak.
And I know we don't want to say this out loud. Did Ohtani look like himself last night?
No. He does not look like himself.
When Freddie Freeman fouled the ball off his hurt ankle last night, did he look like himself from that point forward?
No, but he still played.
He still played. I'm not saying he's played. You could be looking at a spot tonight where maybe the two Red Sox stars are a little compromised, and they're thinking in that dugout, we need to end this quick.
Have the Yankees given you any indication, not just this year's team, but just in general, that they are the team that can do this?
Not at all.
That's the problem.
Not at all.
But some might say they're due.
They are due. I don't know, man. I've always looked at 3-0s and said, you can come back. It's not the craziest thing in the world. Now, to be fair, the Dodgers have had two four-game losing streaks this season. So when you're looking for a four-game losing streak, it's been a rarity. And the last time the Dodgers did it was the middle of June. So it's been a while.
So they're due.
Hey, let's be ready.
They're due, too. From a beautiful Yankee stadium, in a couple of hours, you'll get the Yankee pregame show right here on WFAN, and then John Sterling and Susan Waldman will take it away. Game 4 of the Fall Classic between the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Another guy who's in the building, I think he's about 500 feet away from us. You've been watching him on TV every day throughout the NLCS and now, of course, the World Series. His number is retired in our studios of WFAN, the great Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, thanks for coming on, man.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
We are good, man. It's a little chilly out here, at least for us sitting in the booth. I'm sure the guys on the field don't mind it, but we got to ask you the obvious question about Alex. I mean, about Aaron Judge, Alex, because you went through something similar. Obviously, not as profound as Aaron's has been in the postseason, but how can he get out of this slump that he's been in, really all of his postseasons?
Well, I think, you know, my biggest concern is always when it transfers from physical to mental. And I think we're on the latter part of that. You know, to me, it seems like he's trying to do a little bit too much. He's trying to pull the ball, but he's late on everything. And One thing is someone who's, you know, shorter to be late. But when you're 6'7", 282 pounds, it is vital to get that front foot on time. And he feels like he's in a rocket chair, meaning he's early on soft breaking balls and he's late on fastballs. And that's called in between, and that's a bad place to be. For me, I would start thinking about tonight, can I have one moment or two moments to help this team win? And forget stats. Think about big moments.
Do you think, and Boone hasn't done it, but do you think a lineup switch for him would have been beneficial at this point?
I mean, you could say yes and no. I mean, look, the only real move to make there is to split Stanton and Judge and put Soto in the middle. That's a pretty drastic move, but it would have given a lot more protection to Aaron Judge. But at the end of the day, I'm also a guy that says, look, this is what got you here. You know, let it rip. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, and I think Boone is going to take criticism, obviously, because of how he's not really changed anything, Alex. But, you know, what can he say to Aaron Judge? Or is he saying anything to Aaron Judge? Or do you just leave him alone and hope that you hope for the best? But I feel like that's kind of passively not doing anything.
You know, one of the things that helped me out a great deal when I was a Yankee was, you know, George Steinbrenner would have the great old legends around, whether it's Reggie Jackson, Roy White, Willie Randolph, Lee Mazzilli, you know, Larry Boa. These guys were like an institutional amount of wealth of knowledge that they would share with us. And when we struggled, like Aaron is struggling, you had these resources available to you 24/7. And I'm not sure who's around Aaron who has the type of experience that he needs to help him push over the top. And that's a very lonely place. You feel like you're on an island by yourself. I think that's a big issue as well.
Well, this may sound like a dumb question. I know you don't work for the Yankees, but can that guy be you? Because we've talked about it, and I thought you struggled a lot less than Aaron has. Because you were great in Seattle in the playoffs. You were great in the first round and a half of 2004. It's not like you had never performed in the playoffs. So, like, is it something where Aaron would have to come to you or the Yankees would have to come to you? Because you feel like the perfect guy to speak to Aaron Judge about this.
Well, look, I'm the last thing from being an employee of the Yankees. I'm always available. I like Aaron Judge very much. We have a very nice relationship. But I never want to overstep. I never wanted the people to overstep when I was playing. So that's a very delicate force. Tiki, you know, it's like,
yeah, of course.
You know, it's hard in the middle of a Super Bowl or, you know, a big championship game for someone to try to come in and be hero. But I'm available 24/7. But Evan, to answer your question, I cannot tell you enough and underscore Reggie Jackson being in the clubhouse, guys like Yogi Berra back in the day, Lee Mazzilli, these guys are all champions. They're winners. But more importantly, they did it right here in New York in the biggest market in the world. And I'm telling you, fellas, it is hard to play here. And the Avalanche can go both ways. When you're doing well, you can ride it like he rode it all season long for a historic season. But when that Avalanche turns against you, it's equally as effective, and he's in the middle of that right now. And who in that clubhouse, who in that coaching staff can say the things that a Reggie Jackson or a Roy White or a Lee Mazzilli can? I'm not sure what the answer is to that.
Yeah, Alex, tell me if I'm off base, but we started our show talking about how Aaron Boone has played this whole season as if we're going to be okay, right? Just it takes some time. We're going to get there. It's all in front of us. We know the cliches that he uses. And it's not like there hasn't been a sense of urgency because they won a bunch of games and they ultimately won the division. And, you know, obviously they're here in the World Series. But it felt like this laissez-faire, we're going to be good because we're just good, and not a sense of urgency. And at some point, it gets really hard to just flip a switch. You know, and you get hit in the mouth like they have against the Dodgers in these first three games, and now you're trying to flip a switch, and it's not as easy as it sounds just because you're great players or have a great team.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure if sometimes we overblame managers or underblame them, but at some point, what's obvious is that Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations for the Dodgers, they've built a locomotive. I mean, this is an incredible team. They're deep. They're sound. They understand winning. They do not beat themselves. They don't make all the same mistakes that the Yankees have made. And look, let's recall the season. While the Yankees were good, they weren't great. They were great at times, but they were awful. There was a part there in the middle of the season where for 6 weeks, they played as bad as any other team in baseball, and then they turned it around a little bit. We're seeing kind of that middle part of the Yankee season. We're seeing it at the worst time now. and that's unfortunate. But, you know, is it an architecture issue? Is it a managerial issue? I'm not sure. But if the Yankees lose today at home, this would be one of the biggest embarrassments in decades.
No question. We're talking to Alex Rodriguez. Now, I was watching you guys the last few days, and you led the charge on this. The idea of, hey, you got to pitch Garrett Cole, you know, unless he's hurt and we're not aware, which I appreciate you saying that because I guess we don't know. All indications are he's healthy, but you said he's got to pitch. I completely agree with you. Who is that on? Is that on Garrett to tell Aaron Boone, give me the ball, or is that on the manager to say, hey, are you okay to pitch on short rest? Who is that moron, in your opinion?
Yeah, you got to preface that, Evan, with, like, you have no idea if Garrett's hurt. And if he's even, like, 5% hurt, then you got to step way back and say, okay, you know, whatever I said, just throw it out the window. But if you are healthy, and Tiki, you know this better than anyone, you're never healthy this time of the year. Otani's yeah, right. not healthy. But I got to tell you, the respect that you gain in that room by getting the ball when your backs are against the wall, where you're one loss away from going home, one of the great benefits of only throwing 88 pitches in game one is that you're fresh and ready to go in 3 days rest. I mean, in 09, CeCe, AJ, and Pettit threw on 3 days rest the whole month, and they were older. So for me, you leave nothing. Look, the Yankees wish Otani was in the lineup. He's probably 50%. But I'll never forget the story when Tom Kelly, I believe in the 91 World Series, went out to see because Jack Morris at 50% is better than whatever deadbeat you're going to bring out there. And he was right. And he went on to win the game, and they went on to win the World Series.
Yeah.
But this is the time of year that you want to grab the bull by the horn and take the ball and say, let's go. I'll get you to game five, and, you know, the rest is on you guys. But let me do that for you guys.
Yeah. You know, Alex, let me back you up to something you said a little bit earlier, because I think it's important, especially when you are the man, like you were, like Aaron Judge is now. You got to want that moment, right? You got to know that it's going to be intense. It's going to be hard and hardest thing you've ever done. But you got to desire it. You can't shy away from let somebody else do this right now. But in the biggest stages, the biggest players got to make the biggest plays, right? That's what you're paid for. And I think Aaron Judge is that, but we haven't seen that yet. And so it gets really difficult as a fan to evaluate him, you know, as one of the greats. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I mean, coming into the series, the two things we talked about and that everybody was highlighting was, you know, the two Titans going up against each other, Otani against Judge. Two guys that are going to run away with the MVPs, two guys that are competing to be the best players in the world and in the face of baseball. And I think combined, they have two hits together, so they haven't done much.
Right.
I think when you talk about, Evan, support cast, I talked about the importance of Reggie Jackson and Willie Randolph and all those guys. Also, if you look at the Yankee team and that lineup, anyone not named Soto or Stanton is hitting about 0.91 with a couple of RBIs. So you need a collective effort. The difference with the Dodgers, they have a diversified approach. 1 through 9, they're beating you. Edmund won the MVP in the last round. Yeah. And look, let's be clear. The Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations for the LA Dodgers, deserves a lot of credit. For 10 years, they've had one of the most prominent offenses in the game. But they had a kryptonite, and that kryptonite was left in the pitching. What did they do? They went out and got the two Hernandez. They went Hernandez, and they got Edmund. And the rest is history. Now they don't have any weaknesses. And regardless of what happens today or tomorrow when this ends, I think a lot of questions are going to be on Brian Cashman. How do you address is not only Juan Soto, which is going to be a tall task, but is also what are you going to get on top of Juan Soto?
Yeah, because, I mean, you talk about Edmund. He's batting ninth today.
I know. What a postseason he's been. And like you said, he was a July acquisition.
Right.
It's a great move by Andrew Friedman. This is a weird subject for Yankee fans and certainly for you because no one wants to talk about 3-0-4. But is it a win? Is it two wins? What is it going to take for the Yankees to place that tiny seed of doubt in the Dodgers' minds with them currently having a 3-0 lead, but obviously that can change quickly?
It's a hard comp because even though we were beating them badly in the first three games, they still, in those middle games, if you go back, they scored 6 runs, 5 runs, 8 runs. They were still putting, you know, runs on the board. And we knew on the back end they had Pedro, Schilling, and Derek Lowe waiting. I think one of the subtle plays, but probably one of the most significant plays that changed the trajectory of the series, was in the 8th inning. Gleyber Torres makes a very lackadaisical, you know, reach for that ball that Soto threw from the outfield. It allows Otani to go to third. He scores in the Mookie Betts sacrifice fly, and then the haymaker from, you know, Freddie Freeman, and the rest is history, and here we are 3-0. But, you know, protecting 90 bases, doing the little things, in October, they get magnified.
You know, it's one thing you talk about the lineup that, that Freeman has built, and Freddie Freeman is banged up, and he's limping around. And it's like he has that it, that like clutch gene that you just need on a team like this. And I feel like the Yankees don't have that. He's not at the super height that he used to be at, Alex, but he is just, he's clutch.
He's clutch. And look, he has one thing in common with some of the members of the late 90s Yankees run, whether that's Paul O'Neill, Chuck Knoblauch, Tino Martinez, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams. These are guys that did two things very, very well. One, they made great contact. They didn't strike out.
Yeah.
And two, they hit elite pitching. And Freddie Freeman does both as well as anybody. This whole idea that you can just swing and miss. If you're doing that during the season, imagine when you're playing the elite pitchers in October. You're going to just put, you know, a 2X in those strikeout numbers.
You can watch Alex on Fox tonight, pre and post. We appreciate you coming on tonight, Alex. Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate you, Alex.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There is the great A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. Yankees-Dodgers game 4 tonight. A game you'll hear right here on The Fan. One of the voices you'll hear is Susan Waldman. She'll join us in a couple of minutes. Plus, Sean Morash will try to exercise some demons with the New York Yankees a little bit later on as well. And more of your calls at 888-808-1019. We are live from Yankee Stadium right up until 7:25 and the pregame show. We are live from Yankee Stadium. In about an hour and a half, you'll get the pregame show, and you will hear this voice, the voice of the New York Yankees, Susan Waldman. Susan?
Hi, guys.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I'm here. I'm on the air at 7:30.
Yeah, Susan made me feel very bad because she needed to bring up the Patriots and how
I thought you wanted to talk about Patriots football. Tiki's here.
We don't want to talk about game 3, so we might as well talk about the Jets
game
getting
one,
beat up.
Or game 2.
All right.
Well, you've seen it all. What's your feeling about this team going into game 4 right now?
Do you know what? And this is really odd.
Yeah.
I have had no feeling about this all the way through. I mean, I do know that, you know, Kansas City, I think that was a sweet little team. I
sure.
mean, they have really good pitchers.
Cute little adorable
you know,
team.
They are, well, Cleveland, too. They're a little better. This is a real team. This is a team. They hit up and down the lineup.
Yep.
They pitch. Everybody pitches. And I really had no clue. Usually I have a feeling because they could come out and be the Yankees that won 94 games. They can come out and do this because we've seen both. I mean, everybody is all up in arms about Judge. We've seen this a couple times already. What we haven't seen is everybody else going into the tank at the same time.
Right. I know it's because we just had Alex on, and he was talking about Andrew Friedman and the team that he built. Because we'll talk about Otani, and we'll talk about Betts and Friedman and Freddie Freeman, but Tommy Edman's the guy who's doing a lot of the damage.
But isn't that always what happens? There's always these guys that are at the bottom of the order.
Yep.
Brian Doyle, Marty Barrett in 75 in the ALCS. There are people like that because they don't pay attention to them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how this is being perceived. Judge has struck out 20 times, right? You know who else has struck out 20 times? Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
But nobody's saying a word, but it looks like the Yankees are doing strange things. Bring up Ohtani. Ohtani came out for the introductions with his arm in a sling. and Clark Schmidt, instead of going, strike one,
walked
strike
him on four
two,
pitches.
Walked him on four pitches, trying to, you know, because probably the iPad said, well, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
His arm was in a sling.
Yeah.
I mean, try and see if he can swing.
Right.
It was kind of,
right, if you give up a home run, it's just 1-0. You're fine.
It's exactly right. But it's strange things. Also, to me, and they tell me I'm wrong because people, there's not a hangover. I did not see them respond from game one. That was a gut punch. That was a punch in the stomach. It really was. I was getting ready to go on the field, and all of a sudden, all these LA people are going in front of me. It was really was, and it was stunning. And you have to brush that off. And I'm not sure they have.
Yeah, how much of this is on Aaron Boone trying to strike the right chord, say the right things, put out the right lineup?
What do you mean? This is the same lineup pretty much he's had all year. Here's the thing.
That's the problem.
Is it the problem or is it the reason they won? All these things. Now, look at this team and Aaron Boone. And, you know, it's not Billy Martin. I understand this.
Right.
This is not what they want anymore. You're not going to find these people. This team got very little production out of left field all year.
Right.
They got no production out of third base all year. They got no production out of first base most of the year. They got no production out of catcher most of the year.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a stretch with Austin Wells.
Yeah, for
really
3 weeks.
Good,
and then the bullpen blew up in July.
Right.
And they still won 94 games. How bad could he be?
True, but with nothing working against one of the best teams in baseball, should you try something different?
Well,
I'm asking.
I would, but I don't know. This is different than this whole mental approach now with the analytics and how they're brought up and how they come through the minor leagues and how they swing. It's a whole thing. I would change things up, but that's a gut thing. Maybe Aaron Boone thinks his team won't respond if they move. Why hasn't he moved Aaron Judge? And, you know, I've asked a million times, why don't you ever switch them? No, I like it the way it is. Somebody doesn't want to switch.
Right.
Well, you know what I find curious about, and the only reason I bring this up is because he learned from Aaron Boone, was watching Carlos Mendoza all year. He changed it up a lot.
He did.
Now, maybe it's personnel difference. Maybe it's they don't have as many stars. But why, from the Yankee tree, did Mendy say, I'm going to try something, and it feels like Aaron's like, look, this is what got me here. I'm not changing a damn thing.
Okay, well, let's go back to the Yankee tree.
Yes.
Because Carlos Mendoza was here a long time before Aaron Boone. He did not get brought up by Aaron Boone.
He's prior Aaron Boone, right?
He was managing against Luis Rojas in the minor leagues for years. Mendy was always going to be a manager. You always knew that he was going to be a manager. He's his own guy, and he was a great bench coach, and I think he helped Aaron Boone an awful lot with stuff like that. But the things that he did as bench coach that people don't know, how he worked with players and how he got... I'll tell you a story.
You hear this a lot about with Glaber.
Well, I've talked a lot about Glaber, but there's more. Do you know about the Miguel Cabrera story?
No.
All right, this is amazing. We're in Detroit last year, and Miggy is retiring, and it's his last game, and I have Oswaldo Cabrera on the field as the star of the game. And he's looking across the field, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he said to me, you know, I'm on the same field as Miguel Cabrera. And I told Mendy so the next day, there's Glaber, there's Cabrera, a couple of other guys, and there's Miggy on the third base dugout, and Mendy says to get them to stop, you know, swinging and pulling everything. Mendy says, Miggy, tell them how many times you have tried to pull a ball in all these years. And he said, never. and he's trying to get all these guys. Glaber's best when he goes right center, and sometimes he forgets. But it was Miggy, and it was Carlos Mendoza who went to Miggy and said, will you talk to these guys?
Right.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's got the analytic. He's got the analytic mind, too.
Yeah.
But he knows people.
Yeah. It's funny, because you heard it during the season. This is Mendy with the Mets. You'd ask him a question. Was this analytic based or was it gut? He kind of didn't want to answer because you could tell it was gut.
Right.
It was just his years of experience. But that's my point. You're not allowed to say that anymore.
Well, now you have to. It's the answer has to be in an iPad. And a lot of managers, and I'm not saying here, Dave Roberts does it every now and then too. But you change a pitcher because if it doesn't work, you can go to the guy upstairs and say, "See this? I did what you told me to do, and it didn't work.
Right.
I would have run in, you know, Sam Birdbath."
Right. I love Sam Birdbath. He's one of my favorites.
He's not as good as his brother, John. Sam is very good.
You're listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN HD1 New York at Odyssey Sports Station. We're talking to Susan Waldman here live from Yankee Stadium. So, Judge, he's obviously getting the most attention because he hasn't hit this postseason.
Right.
Do you get the sense that he is pressing, that he is putting the pressure on himself to carry this team or... Like, it's becoming a mental thing now with him?
I think it is. And I thought there were some good at-bats yesterday. There was one that was up the middle that was good, and that obviously it was off the end of the bat, but the one that went into left field because he's been not there.
Right.
This is, he takes, you know, he's really good at saying one at-bat at a time. I mean, to be frank here, except for Soto and Stanton a lot of times. Aaron Judge has carried this team for 6 months.
Oh, no doubt. No question.
You know, they're not anywhere without him, and that includes the month of April where he didn't get hit at all. He was just like this.
Yeah.
The difference this time is that they're not responding down the rest of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Their whole thing is pass the baton. Nobody is passing the baton past Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, that's where it stops, and then the rest of the lineup has been kind of non-existent, except for Rizzo every now and then. But I think, you know, if there's nothing wrong with him, and I think at this point he's obviously trying too hard. Pressing, I don't like that word because that means he's, you know, he's out of his rhythm. You know, sometimes you want to try too hard. That's what the rest of the lineup is doing. It just takes one. Joe Torre used to go over. I remember one day Tino was in a terrible, terrible slump, and Joe goes to him and said, "All right, when you come up next time, I want you to hit a ground ball to second base." And Tino goes, "Okay, okay." So Tino hits the ball for the first time in a month, and it goes into the right field seats. I mean, that's what you try and do something. He'd say that to, like, Jose Molina. Jose, I want you to have a sacrifice fly right here. Okay, I'll do that.
Right.
And he would do it.
It simplifies things.
He simplified things. He didn't have an iPad.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, the other side of this conversation we're having with you obviously revolves around your partner. This could be his last game.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now as they're putting up lights in your WFAN broadcast booth where you've called so many games with John Sterling. The Today Show, I believe, is doing an interview with some correspondent or producer. He's getting mic'd up. But, I mean, this could be his last Yankee broadcast.
I know.
I mean, how does that make you feel thinking about? I mean, he already retired once, but this is different.
But this is different. That was, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
I'm leaving.
Right.
This is something else. As a matter of fact, I was thinking as I was driving in here, what do I say?
Yeah.
I mean, what do I say? I mean, it's not only 20 years on the radio. I've known this man for 40 years.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, for when he first came over from Atlanta, I was, you know, I was Sweetie Birdie, WFAN, right, with the microphone. I was the first one. But it's, you know, it's tough, and I think this has made him so happy.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the fans, I hear it all the time, and what I've heard on the streets from fans outside, I said, you know, we this is right, the two of you.
Oh, no doubt.
And it's comfortable. Sometimes you want comfort. I mean, you want something that's familiar. You know, when Kansas City came here, Denny Matthews, who hasn't traveled in years, came with the team, just in case it was like the last game. They want to hear Denny Matthews tell them their team is either winning or losing.
Yeah.
They don't want, you know, somebody new.
Yeah.
And I think that's great, and it's great for him.
Oh, I mean, just as a baseball fan, like, I understand he couldn't do it anymore, but it was so abrupt. It was like, wait a second, we're not going to get to hear John Sterling anymore? So it seems only right, however this season ends, that he is that voice with you as this season concludes, good or bad.
I wonder if he's thought of something. You know, he always says he flies by the seat of his pants. Do you think he's got a speech or
What do you think?
No.
You tell us.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have to deliver it for a couple more days. But
well, yeah, I hope so, too.
But. Well, the thing that's so difficult, and I'm trying as a baseball fan to read what I think is going to happen, but I also think back to 04. Like, did you at all think that Red Sox team was going to be the team?
No, and I grew up there, so I know that whole thing. And I do remember before game four, I remember we're at Fenway Park, and these Yankee fans were, like, harassing these Bostonians. And I said, oh, leave them alone. They're going to have a bad day. And it was because I remember those faces. Those faces could only be in Fenway Park.
Sure, they just lost 19-8 the day earlier.
It was
awful.
Know, and we all remember everything. But, you know, they did it to your mother. They did it to your aunt in Section 17. Luis Aparicio falling down, running around third base. The pennant lost by a half a game in 72. Or 73. We all remember everything. But that game, and then I heard Kevin Millar say to Dan Shaughnessy, and I think it's in that Netflix thing, don't let us win one game.
Right.
And so that's what they've got to be saying.
Right.
One game. If you can take it. That team, though, was battle-tested. They had fought the Yankees for a long time.
Yeah, I lost a seven-game series a year earlier.
That group. Yep.
But they were also, I mean, they were raw, and they were, like, angry about it. This Yankee team doesn't feel angry about this. I don't know why. It just feels calm.
It's a different world. It's 20 years ago.
Yeah,
it's a whole other
world. Is it the era, or is it the team?
I think it's the era. Era?
Okay. Is it the player? The player's just different?
I think they're different.
Yeah.
You know, all over, you're fine. Everything's fine.
Right.
We'll stick to the process. It's fine.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, fans hate it, too. I'm just trying to be fair that we all look back at 2004, and I admit, like, I don't know as a fan when I said to myself, wow, this team could come back. So, for Yankee fans, if they win today,
However they win, Luis Hill's great. Mm-hmm. They score a bunch of runs against the Dodger bullpen. Tomorrow, are Yankee fans going to say we can do it?
Oh, yeah.
You think it's one game?
Because if they win tonight, that can turn the whole thing. I'll tell you, if they win tonight, I'm going home and packing to go back to Los Angeles.
Right. Smart.
Because, no, that's...
Yeah, put it in the ether, man.
You know, it could be, it depends on what they do today. Yeah. I mean, they talk well. I'll tell you, who talks a great... is terrific at this, and who they've been leaning on. Anthony Rizzo, that 2016 team, a lot of people don't remember. Wow. They were down 3-1.
Yeah, if anyone knows about winning, it's him.
No, and he is really, I mean, you know, Judge is the captain, but Anthony Rizzo is someone that they really listen to. The guy's out there playing with two broken fingers.
Right, and that's right. Why he was brought here, right? Because of that experience that he has. Not necessarily being down 3-0, but just because he's done it before.
Oh, no, he's tough. He's a great defender. But and it's not even the fingers, it's the knuckles right below the... No, he's a tough character, and evidently he did this in 2016, had a knee or an ankle, I think they were talking about.
And he's hitting. He's actually been one of the few guys performing.
Yes, he is. But he does things like, you know, they're all looking at an iPad. I don't know if you've noticed. I've watched it when he walked in here. Two strikes, he chokes up a little bit so that he can go the other way.
Who the heck does that anymore? He's like one of two guys.
Well, Pete Alonso did it when he hit the home run.
Right.
He was choked way up on the bat.
He also knew what was coming.
Trust me, that wasn't in the iPad.
No. talk to us about Luis Hill. This is, I mean, he's a young player making a big start.
He's a rookie
making a humongous start at home. What can we expect? What do we think?
He's got tremendous stuff. Tremendous stuff. His fastball is so good, and it's got such great spin on it that even when he misses a little bit, they'll go for it. Mm-hmm. And if he misses over the middle, they won't hit it.
Right.
Although there are times when he does. I'm just worried a little bit about his focus if something goes wrong. This is a lot for a 24-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a rookie. This is his first full year. This is a lot. He's got tremendous stuff. He came up out of A-ball a few years ago when we first saw him before he got hurt. Came up, vroom, 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 vroom. He can be really good. He also can walk people.
Right.
And he also can give up home runs. And this is... See, it's not only the Yankees. There is another team over there. They are really good.
Yeah.
And it's not just the top of the order. Look at... I mean, Max Muncy doesn't hit, but there he is running around hitting home runs.
Oh, it's the whole lineup.
Yeah, it's every... All the way down. Tony Hedman is
batting
ninth.
Yeah.
No, it's like the year when Brocious was the MVP of the World Series, batting ninth in 98. I mean, this is a really, really good team.
How quick of a hook does Boone have to have with Luis Hill in an elimination game? Like, you can't wait too long on a night like tonight.
Where's he going?
I was saying this earlier, as crazy as it is, Dodgers are up 2-0 in the second inning. There are guys on base. I go to Luke Weaver. I have to extend the game.
Ooh,
I've got to go to my best relievers.
No, you're not gonna
I got to find a way to keep this game going.
Yeah.
I know that's nuts, but literally that's how I think in these elimination games. You got to find a way to survive.
No, you do. You do.
I know what you're thinking, Susan. Evan would be a terrible manager.
No, but you know what it is? That's the great thing about, you know, there's a gut thing here. What do I do here?
Right.
But he's got to think about this. And by the way, if you're not going to Stroman in the first inning, why is he there?
Yeah.
You know, well, I know why. I mean,
right. Because they got to fill out a roster.
Well, I mean, or do you go to Nestor?
Right. So you think Stroman? So if he struggles in two innings?
Like, he hasn't pitched in a month.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's a good point.
But
we saw that with Nestor. Same thing.
What?
Hadn't pitched in a month.
Nestor was great. He just missed one pitch. It happened to be the wrong person. I mean, you saw what he did the next night. And the next night, he did what he just... It wasn't a bad idea. It was bad execution to the wrong person. He was trying to go up and in on Freddie.
Yeah.
He put it in his wheelhouse, down and in. You don't do that to a left-hander.
Yeah, look, you said something earlier, and it's crazy to think that game one could be the game we just look back on and say it turned everything, and they were never able to recover.
And they'll say that's not true, and I'm crazy, and I'm too emotional, and I'm a girl. I mean, it's just, you know, it's. But you can see it.
Right.
I mean,
we said the same thing.
People's faces. That was really, really tough. And, you know, and Aaron Boone just said to me 15 minutes ago, maybe this is the beginning of, like, one of the greatest comebacks because it's never been done in the World Series.
Can I ask a question? Because I know Boone got a lot of trouble for this 2 years ago. Where he tried to, like, hype up the team by showing highlights.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it?
Wasn't
That's
him.
A fake story?
No, it happened.
Who
but
did it?
It wasn't him.
Who did it? Was it you, Susan?
No, as far as the story was, it was they have all kinds of mental conditioning people here.
Okay. So it was a mental conditioner? Would you be against that? Like, it's a great story. The problem is it happened to the Yankees.
Tell me the story.
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
so they showed highlights of the 04 Red Sox to inspire how you can come back from 3-0.
They did it against the Yankees. That was their – no, there was no one left on the team. No, it was a couple of years ago. No, I thought it was horrific. I was really, really angry.
But Boone did not do it.
No, it was not his idea. No, it was not. And I'm not sure how it came out. Somebody wanted that story out. You know, I want to know how it got out because it's, you know, it's not something that the public would like to know.
No, Yankee fans were livid when they
heard
that.
Livid. See, they did what?
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, against you. And that was, and when I told some of the people on that team, they did what?
Yeah, I can imagine that ticking them off. That's
for
sure.
That was, no, and then it was explained to me, well, it was just to inspire that it can be done.
No.
I kept saying, but it was done against you. I don't understand. Well,
show hockey highlights.
Right.
That would be my advice.
Or show highlights of you being great. Right. Of your team being
right.
great.
Yeah. Well, that's what the joke was in the press box. Oh, they got to show those films again.
So gut feeling. Are we all here tomorrow night for game 5? You're in pain right now trying to answer this.
I am. I am.
You think it's over. It's okay.
I don't know. I don't know which team is coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I think.
Yeah.
If they can get the lead immediately, they have to have the lead. They cannot play from behind with this team.
Yep.
If they can get
even though
the
it's
lead,
a bullpen game?
They get some pretty good arms.
Yeah, that's true. Damn good bullpen.
That's true. Wow. And they're fresh every inning.
Right.
Every other inning.
He used one guy I didn't think he was going to use. He had to use Michael Kopech yesterday.
Yeah.
But he didn't use Blake Treinen, who was tiring a little bit. And I don't know what the guy from Connecticut is gonna give you. What I thought was really smart, Ben is his first name.
Kasparias? Kasparias? Kasparias?
Wait.
I've only seen this guy pitch a few times. He's annoying.
No, he's annoying?
Well, I mean, as a fan, I had to watch him play my team. And now Yankee fans are watching him face their team.
Kasparias.
Yes. That's what it sounds like a disease.
They brought him up because Michael Grove got hurt. Now, here's the great thing. Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Put him in against the Mets so that he would get experience in New York.
Right. Because he's a local kid.
Yeah.
Well, and because he knows that madness.
Yeah.
And here, can you imagine if he had never pitched in postseason and he has to make a start against the team that he grew up idolizing?
No, it can't be easy.
His family and friends from Westport.
Can't be
and
easy.
UConn. But that's a smart move right
there.
Had him. I think it was an inning and a third, maybe he pitched.
Yeah.
But he pitched over there.
Yes.
And I think that was very
I think he
important.
Pitched in game 5, the game where they were getting killed.
Right.
And I think he pitched in game 2. He pitched in 2 of the games of that series. But we'll see how he does tonight. We'll see how long he goes.
Yep. Yeah. Susan? If they can get ahead, I think they'll win.
All right. We shall see. Susan, we really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The voice, one of the many voices of the New York Yankees. She's been the voice for many years. The first voice ever here on WFAN, the great Susan Waldman.